Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi Miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
Time just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act on my ex, got a lot to address. How am I pretending resi when I'm booked on the rest? How am I pretending and blood condoms in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is. I'm ready.
Welcome to Medicine Bundle. Today is Friday. I'm super excited to be back in the studio this week. I was not here last week, and I'm diving right back in. And we have, this is the most guests that I've had on the show, and I'm looking forward to our conversation today. This week, I actually had performed at the Guthrie, and these ladies are very well involved in that intersection of work there. So I'm just excited. But you're listening to Medicine Bundle. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud, and we have three very talented and dedicated women on the show today, and I will just go ahead and let them introduce themselves. Sure, I'll call on folks. So if Sarah, if you want to just pop in and introduce yourself.
Hamataki epi chante washte napechiza bie Sarah makiapie damakota It's hi. I'm Sarah. I'm good. I'm glad to be with you. And I'm Dakota, and I'm an enrolled member of the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate. Thanks for having us.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Okay, next on my screen here, we have Adrian. So, Adrian, if you want to introduce yourself.
Lakota Ichi Api Nape Washte Wi. My Lakota name is Good Hands Woman. My colonizer English name is Adrian Zimuka January. I'm Oglala Lakota and happy to be living here in Minnesota Makoche.
Thank you, Adrian. Finally, Sequoia.
Oh, bonjour, Anin and Dinwe Magani de Kozawa Sege Indigo. Hello, everybody. My name is Ozawa Sage, which is Ojibwe for Yellow Shining Sun. My English name is Sequoia Hawk. I'm a two-spirit artist and maker here, and I'm so excited to be here. I am White Earth Anishinaabe and enrolled in the Hoopa Valley Tribe, and I'm just so excited to chat with y'all today.
Cool. I didn't know that about you. So Hoopa Valley, that's in California?
Yeah, Northern Cali.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's awesome. I had some homies from back in the day from Hoopa Valley, and they came up to visit. Gosh, I was pregnant with my son, and he's 17, and we brought him up north to Cass Lake. We're in Leech Lake, and I remember he hasn't seen snow ever, and he was like, oh my god, because it was in November, and like it started to lightly snow, and he jumped out of the car. They were just, you know, just like real native guy. So great. So okay, so you have a collective, and it's a theater ensemble, and this is quite new. I heard about the project early on, a few months ago. And what brought you all together to like create this the theater ensemble? Anyone.
I can start. Yeah, no, I'll start. And then I'm going to turn over to Adrian. But I will first say that we all started working together, the three of us. Our paths had crossed in various sort of ways before this, in different projects and things. But we really all three were together for the first time when we when Sequoia and I joined the Native Advisory Council at the Guthrie, mm-hmm. and Adrian had been on that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we were just became very fast, relatives. And it felt really just beautiful to be in the presence of these two incredible humans. And felt like we were kind of chomping at the bit to make something, and we wanted to like tell really healing and positive stories of our community right now, because it just, you know, feels like it can get really heavy and really hard some days. Mm. And things that were really grounded in like who we were as like Dakota, or you know, Ocheti Shakoi, Dakota and Anishinaabe folk, being here in Minnesota Makoche, and that we would make something really specific and exciting to hear. So that's what I'll say, and then I'll turn over to Adrian to maybe you want to add some more context.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been on the Native Advisory Council at the Guthrie since it was formed. At the time, we had our community engagement director, Rebecca Noon. I always love to mention Rebecca, because Rebecca bringing us all together, as it's been magic. it's been good medicine. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Rebecca left just as Sarah and Sequoia were coming on the Native Advisory Council. But yes, we met through there. Sequoia and I have worked together on other projects. I was in their Minahi Kindoa Zit Kalasha opera. We started to have talks and visits outside of our Native Advisory Council meetings about what we would love to see happening on stages in the Twin Cities. Just having a lot of colleagues and friends that work in theater, Native theater here in the Twin Cities, we felt there was a need for more stories from this area specifically, mm-hmm. from Minnesota Makoche, from the people that are part of the Ochete Shakowi, people that are part of the Anishinaabe community. Of course, we want to be able to tell other stories as well, but being in a system like the Guthrie and being in a production like For the People, and like your show last night, Deanna, there is definitely you sold out. We sold out. There is definitely a need for it, and it is good medicine. It's great to see people in our community laugh and having a good time, and it just felt like it was needed, and we didn't know how much we needed it until, yeah, mm-hmm. we need it.
And I always say, like, just across Indian country, I feel like Minneapolis is such a leader. And just kind of like a trailblazer in so much of the work. I mean, like, NIA started here, you know, AIMS started here. It's like we're so, and it's such a centralized place, and we're so, you know, like we're in proximity to Canada. So there's so many ways that our community has like flexed, you know, like, and we've come together, and we're not, you know, an official relocation site. During the relocation era, but we have that. It just seems like we should have been. I know Chicago's is pretty large with the Native population, but here in the Twin Cities, we have so many like services and so many things going on and so many things happening. And like you said last night with that our topic, it was death, grieving, and dying while laughing and continuing that humor. We're ready to go. We're like, we just want to engage with as much teachings and culture and things like that as possible. And I feel like you're right. Like, this is so needed with the storytelling and just getting those voices out there and those writers and those actors out there, because there's so much energy here in this place. And I feel like we're in a very special location, and I feel really blessed to have just been brought up here and seen a lot of the evolution of just when I was born and like continuing on that legacy. So totally, I agree. Sequoia, do you have any thoughts about how you came to become a part of this collective?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what Sarah and Adrian said is perfect. It was really a collective coming together to realize that we could do this work as the three of us and as more than the three of us as well, to be able to create something like Mini Gijik, like our theater ensemble, to support not only ourselves, but support the community, and to be able to do that as not working alone solely, but working collectively and being able to support each other. Even with our current production, the three of us are doing many, many hats and many, many things. And I think being able to have that sustainable model going forth is really helpful for us, but also for the community to be able to create work and support work and keep doing the things that are giving us medicine and healing our communities and sharing our stories.
Yeah, and especially now, like you, I think it was Sarah or Adrian was saying, just the environment, I guess the atmosphere, the vibes today. It's like Native people already have it ingrained to be collective, so I feel like we have to gravitate towards that again and more, and really cultivate our inner, you know, like, our inner gifts and things like that. So you guys are right on time, very timely with, because we all need it. And to get through a lot of the hard times, our storytellers and our performers and writers. And, I feel like we're going to take a big role in the upcoming years and our future. So, yeah, the timing is perfect on that. Is there any, so like, How did you all become a part of this work? Like, what led you to be creative and performers or writers? Like, what was your past like before? Someone, Sarah.
This is Sarah. I can go again first, and maybe that's just the easiest thing.
Let's do the cycle.
I'll just go, and then Adrian and Sequoia. I think, I was just going to add to our last point quickly to say that there's this professor in Canada that I love. She's Anishinaabeg. Her name is Dr. Jill Carter, and she's like one of the first Native theater PhDs ever. And she has this whole like, I read something early on when I was doing my doctoral work from her that was like, our stories are the thing that like rise up and sustain us in moments that are hard. And I've thought about that all the time. And I think I was thinking about that with these two is like, when things are hard, like that's what we do. We tell stories and we change them and adapt them to what the time needs. And mm-hmm. It feels like the moment to do that. But how I got started, I grew up in South Dakota and was in a really small town. And I just, was like, I had a teacher that would call me Little Miss Fine Arts. Cause I took dance and I would do theater and I played a trumpet in the band and I sang in the choir and I did all the things that I could because I wasn't a sports girly like Adrian. But I went to college at Northern State University in Aberdeen and started doing theater there, and there wasn't any Native folks involved in theater. And theater can be really rife with a lot of stereotypes and not very nice jokes or ways that Native folks are represented. And I tell this story all the time, but it's very true that my Ina was, you know, she'd always come to these spaces and she would come into these spaces that were like very, very white mm-hmm. looking. And she'd be like this little brown Dakota woman. And she would, you know, just come because she loved me and like cared about me and wanted to support me and never complained and just was always really present. When I came to Minnesota and there was actually like Native theater happening here and Native folks in shows and telling Native stories in places that were like accessible to us. I did a 10-minute festival with New Native Theater. Mm-hmm. And when my mom walked into the room and everybody looked like her, it was like she just like took a breath of fresh air. It was like so mm-hmm. like just the experience was so different. And I knew immediately like, oh, this is what's been happening all these years, is that she's come into these spaces where she wasn't really, that weren't really made for her or welcoming to her, but she did it because she was with me. And then when she was able to walk into a space that was like, these are people who look like me and their stories that are, tell my experience or their jokes that I get, that are for me, that were written for me, or, you know, told with like our cadence or whatever, that it just really opened my mind. I'm really grateful for that experience. And after that, I just thought, well, I don't want to make theater that isn't a place where my mom feels welcome anymore. Like, I can't believe that I was so short-sighted and, you know, immature enough to not realize how hard that must have been on her. And so that's why, really, I mean, I was making theater all the time, forever, always, from the time I was little. Like, let me put on a show. I thought I was going to be a performer my whole life. But it wasn't until that moment that I was like, I need to be more purposeful and thoughtful about what this work really means mm-hmm. and who I really want to serve, or try to serve, or try to like make sure it feels safe or represented in a space, what stories people need to hear. So I'm not always perfect at it, but I'm trying really hard. And I think that's kind of how I've gotten to this point with Adrian and Sequoia. And, you know, the name of our collective is Minigijik, which, you know, is Dakota and Ojibwe languages. Mini, of course, water, in both Dakota, Lakota, and Gijik is cedar. And we had talked a lot about like, what are the things that feel like healing and grounding and like good for us? Mm-hmm. Like, as we're talking about, like, what do we name this? And like, what does it mean to put our languages together? And what does it mean to like ground us in this place, you know, like we, you know, burning cedar, being with the water, being present with the water, being at the water, honoring the water. And so that's kind of how, you know, I don't know. I went a little off course, but you get the idea, hopefully.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that when, you know, when we bring our culture together, we used to take like culture, language and culture classes, and it was Ojibwe and Dakota on Monday nights, and the parallels, it was so similar, and the teachers, they didn't like share notes beforehand, but like the topics they would just intersect. So that's so beautiful, and I'm a fan of going off course, as everyone might know. So don't worry about that. But no, that's awesome. And I don't know if I had the opportunity to meet your mom while we were there. I think I was a part of, I think, two or three of the 10-minute festivals. I'm always so busy and just all wild all over the place. But yeah, that's so beautiful. And to see us reflected, especially as Native women and Native girls, especially, I feel like it's so important for them to see good role models and to hear their stories reflected in something so, in a production, you know, like thoughtful and people putting a lot of energy towards a production and seeing yourself represented is beautiful. Yeah, so Adrian, Adrian, if you want to just share a little bit about like how you've got to this path and like what brought us together today.
Absolutely. I moved to the Twin Cities from South Dakota, from Rapid City. Oh gosh, I think it was like 17 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long. But, you know, coming from my Lakota Oyate and having such a connection to community back home, when I moved here, I was feeling like I wanted to make connection with Native community here in the Twin Cities. I was trying to figure out ways I could do that. I'm a graphic designer by trade. I work for a publishing company right now as a senior designer for them. And I thought, well, what could I do with my skills that I can give back to community in the community that I am? Because although I've been here 17 years, you know, as a Lakota, as a Native person, I always find myself as a guest here as well. So I want to build the Native community, help build the Native community here or support it. I'm always mindful about asking permissions for doing that. So my initial touch into community was I wanted to volunteer. I wanted to do something that's going to help. So actually on Craigslist, I found this post from New Native Theater. They were looking for a designer. And I'm like, that's awesome. I can help do a poster. This will be great. So when I went to meet Rihanna and Andrea at Powwow Grounds, Rihanna asked me, have you done any acting? And my mom was a theater director in our high school. And I was always told if I was going to be in sports, I was going to be an oral terp and declam, and we're supposed to be just as good in that as we are in sports. So I was like, yeah, I've done some acting. And then by the end of 2012, the musical, I think they wrote me like three or four different parts into the musical, but it was a great experience. And that's when that bug got me, like that theater acting bug here in the Twin Cities. So I've been fortunate enough to work with Bedlam Theater, the History Theater, the Guthrie Theater. I was in their production of For the People. Also helped with the workshopping with community to write that story. That was my big in, was I just wanted to do something for my community, Native community that I'm in right now here in the Twin Cities. So that was my start into theater here in the Twin Cities. And it's been amazing ever since. I met Sequoia, I met Sarah. All has been good because of it. With that focus of, my focus isn't about me and what I'm doing. It's what can I do that's going to be good for my community and this community that I'm in right here.
That's awesome. And it's so similar to, so I saw, I think, it was a Craigslist. It was like the Circle, but it was like an, audition. And I would, you know, like I was working at the Minneapolis Public Schools Indian Education at the time. And I was so, I was like so scared to talk in public, like public speaking. I wanted to hit on that last night that, we humans, we fear public speaking more than death. And I wanted to somehow work that in because I was like, oh, public speaking. But I wanted to get better at it. And I remember like there was a Dakota, mural, at the Indian Center, and there was an unveiling and stuff like that. And they had like open mic, and I was like, ooh, I wrote this thing. I'm going to go up and talk. And it was like, so I got so super nervous, and like I got so red, and like it was Dallas Goldtooth was the host, and he, like, when I walked away, he's like, you know, it takes a lot for someone to walk up here and, you know, to speak in front of people, and, you know, like I was like so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God. So I recall that. And then when I went to that audition, that was what I had in mind, was I'm going to go to this audition just so that I can work on like my public speaking. And now no one can take the dang mic away from me now. So that's kind of similar too with that audition. So that was, I don't know how many years ago, over a decade anyway, but it was a while ago. I was so scared, but yeah, I performed a 10-minute play, and yeah, I didn't understand that the my character had a mental illness until like I was on stage. I was like performing it. I didn't know she had OCD. I didn't understand that she was talking to herself. It was so, I was like, what the heck? Okay, now I get it. It was back in the day, but but Sequoia, I actually recall, I think I met you, I think it was like, what is that called? When we do art on the Ave all night, and we did,
I think it was Northern Spark, right?
Northern Spark, yes. So I remember meeting you there for the first time. How did you come about doing a lot of this work?
Yeah, you know, I'm a youngin in all of this still, but I have been doing theater for what feels like forever. I did a lot of performing arts schools growing up, in like middle school and high school. I went to St. Paul Conservatory for performing artists, and then once I graduated high school, I went into college being like, okay, I'm not gonna do art anymore. Like, I did that, it's done. But I found myself getting drawn back into the arts and into theater. And I had a couple mentors in college who encouraged me to like look into Native theater. And I was seeking it myself, and I didn't know where it was. And so having that like encouragement was really valuable, and that's when I started getting connected to Adrian and other artists in this area who are Native, and then from there I just sort of kept continuing to figure out what made sense about learning language. And I also traveled to Aotearoa, New Zealand, and studied an internship with Takirua, which is the longest running Māori theater organization in that country. And so being able to learn from them and what they're doing with theater and traveling. And I was basically like an assistant stage manager for a full Te Reo production that was traveling to the Northland. And so to be able to like learn from that so hands-on and bring that back here, and then being able to make this company with Adrian and Sarah and continue the work that we feel is really important to do, and to be able to like give people, you know, my age and people younger and elders a platform to be able to do this, I think is to be able to feel seen and feel recognized is really the thing that I was searching at that time. when I was looking for what is Native theater going on in this city. And Deanna, you mentioned it, how like vibrant we are, how there is so much going on here. And I think that the so much can grow. And I think that is the hope of us, is we're hoping to like fulfill the dreams of folks around us, and be able to make everything that everyone wants to happen creatively, storytelling wise, artistic wise, to be able to make that come to fruition is really the goal.
Yeah. And I feel like companies like yours really, you know, like we native, you know, like I grew up in the '80s, and I feel like we, here in Minneapolis, that we were always in, you know, like survival mode and, just really just trying to get by. And now I feel like we're moving into a new space and a new consciousness with our community, where we're really reclaiming a life of, you know, abundance and thriving. And it's not just surviving anymore. And we're really reaching for a lot of, you know, our ancestral strength and knowledge in order to apply that in our lives and really just live our best life. So I feel like you all creating this company is kind of like a reflection of that, and just what our community needs is just that beauty and that all the things that we felt like we've kind of been you know, like I guess estranged from, was like being creative and having the platform or just the space to write our stories or to see our stories and talk with other people about these things and create and collaborate. So I feel like this is so great. And I really am excited about the work, and I'm looking forward to, the, you know, the productions that come from this. And I remember we performed at Standing Rock, when the movement was happening over there. You know, it was like 2016, 2017, but I forgot what I think it was, we just did a reading. So we did really performance, and everybody grabbed their chairs and, you know, sat down and watched us perform. And it was really awesome. And aunties were laughing. It was just dark, but we just made it happen. We just got everything together. And, the next day there was a couple of Mohawk ladies, so Mohawk elders, like aunties, and they came up to us, and they, one of them said, I had a dream, about this type of storytelling, and that this type of storytelling would, you know, come to our people and bring a lot of healing to our people. And I've always like held on to that, as, you know, because they made it out of their way to like tell us that. And I always think about that when I see Native theater and when I see Native performers, and I think about her dream. And so I just always reflect on that. Yeah. So we're actually going to take a short little break, but when we come back, we will dive into more about what projects you're working on. So we will take a short break and we will be right back. You're listening to Medicine Bundle.
People say unicorns like me are tall tales, nothing more than myths. Same with dragons and merpeople. Believe what you want about us, but we can all agree recycling is real. Don't believe me? Recycled food cans are transported by Minnesota companies to foundries and steel mills throughout the Midwest. These cans are made into new products like wire, beams, and parts for cars and appliances. Recycling exists. Learn the real story behind recycling at recyclingexists.com.
Ah, spring is in the air. What? What's that, my little bushy-tailed friend? You say the KFAI Spring Pledge Drive was a big success? And it's all because of people that donated? Like me? Well, I'm just glad to do my part to keep non-commercial, community-powered radio going strong. What's that? Of course, you can go to KFAI.org to donate whenever it's convenient for you. No, I'm not sure if they'll take seeds as a donation or small twigs. Maybe you could get some of your other squirrel friends to go in together. I hear you're nuts about KFAI. Okay, I'm sorry.
Coming to the KFAI Wave Project, Hennepin Fest, a women-led music and cultural festival. You can learn about the festival. It takes place on Saturday, May 31st from 2 until 7 p.m. in historic Washburn Fair Oaks Park. And get to know some of the performers through interviews and music from none above Connie Evingson, Maria Issa, and Annie Mack. Hennepin Fest, celebrating the legacy of women artists in our community, showcasing multiple musical genres, including rap, blues, funk, pop, and jazz. It's all this Sunday, 10 a.m., on The Wave Project on KFAI.
Minneapolis becomes Mardi Graspolis when the Southside Aces present A Night in New Orleans at the Dakota, Tuesday, May 13th. The Southside Aces are back with their latest release, Minneapolis Bump, 15 original songs inspired by the jazz age. Drawing from jazz greats like Jelly Roll Morton, King Oliver, Louis Armstrong, and Duke Ellington, the Southside Aces bring the classic New Orleans speakeasy sound to the modern age. And you don't even need the password. Tickets for the Southside Aces can be found at the Dakota's website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
Bonjour, everyone. You're listening to Medicine Bundle. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud, and we are here with Mini Gijic Theater Ensemble, and we are listening to their individual stories about what brought them together, and now we're going to take some time to talk about what the work will look like as they come together. So, Sarah, I know... you all have a project coming up, a production. Can you tell us a little bit about that process and just the details of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was, I did some work at, I'm always back and forth into Canada because we have so many wonderful relatives there, you know, and they make really good native theater up there. And they fund it really well, too, or at least better than we do here in the States. And so there's all this great theater. And I was doing, you know, research for my PhD. So I spent a lot of time there. And while I was there, I met Joelle Peters, who is the current artistic director of Native Earth Performing Arts, which is one of the largest and longest running professional Native theater companies in North America. And She said she had written, she's Anishinaabe, and she wrote this play called Neej that was like an Ojibwe rom-com. And I was like very intrigued by that because I teach a lot of Native plays, and I'm a professor, and one of my favorite things is getting to expose students to like Native written work, because most of them will have never read any plays written by a Native person. At all. And so I was like, oh, rom-com. Yeah, that sounds kind of fun. Like I should like maybe bring it into my class. So I said, can I have a copy of it? And it wasn't even published yet. And she was like, yeah, of course. So I read it and, I thought it was just incredible. It was so sweet. And, it was like the, you know, it's like all of the teenage, dreams you have for yourself and the things you're grappling with when you're like a young woman in particular starting out, including like your feelings about love and relationships and your family and going and leaving and, you know, what you're going to do in your life. If you're going to go to college or you're going to work or like who are your obligations to? And it dealt with all that stuff and it was really funny. And when Adrian and Sequoia and I started talking about Meningijic and like, what was it going to be and what did we want to do? And I kept going back to this play and thinking like, what if like we should do this? Like it's positive and it's great. And I think it's a play that like really celebrates like, indigenous, like, love in all of its forms, like love for your family, love for the land, like romantic love, love for stories and tradition and ancestors and all the things. And I think oftentimes there are many plays, rightly, because we write to deal with stuff that kind of see the worst of our families and our love relationships. And sometimes we can be seen as people who are like dysfunctional in our, those in that kind of relationship making or something, which is weird to me because I don't think I ever knew true like love and community, you know, and it like, except for when I was in a native space. And so anyway, the long story short of this is I thought Sequoia needs to direct this because it's an Ojibwe play. And it's like, I want to produce it, but it shouldn't be me. Even though I do direct a lot, that's primarily what my artistic practice is. But I just really felt in my heart like Sequoia is the person, and they're such a brilliant young artist, and they're Ojibwe, and like this, you know, they understand this time of life, not because I don't, but because I'm further removed from it because I'm old now, right? And then I think I said, like, I think it would be crazy if we did like an all Ojibwe cast, like everybody Ojibwe. Like, what would that be like? And Sequoia and Adrian were so generous and kind with that idea. They were like, yes, oh my gosh, yes. And I told Joelle, in, you know, we wanted to do it. And I said, we want to do it with an all Ojibwe cast. And even she was like, that's like a dream come true. Cause when it was produced in Canada, it wasn't, you know, it's like, we often have like mixed casts from different tribes and whatever. And like, that's great and fine. Cause that's who you bring together. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean less, but like that it could be really cool because here we are in Minnesota and there's like Ojibwe people everywhere. Like let's put together an all Ojibwe cast. So we're doing this play, Nij, and it has Ojibwe language in it and Ojibwe people in it. And it's led by Sequoia, who's just a badass Ojibwe human. And that all feels really good and like exactly what this first production should be. And so we're opening in May, on like May 9th, and making it all happen. And, you know, it's like we're making sure that it's accessible to our community. You know, tickets are pay what you can. So like if you can pay nothing, that's fine. Like we want you to see it. That's the most important thing to us. And we're planning events around it and with it. Trish is going to come and like do a little set before one of the shows. And one of the bits in the show, you know, deals with bingo. Cause like, why not? Of course it does. And so we're going to play bingo before the show one night. And Marcy Rendon is going to call bingo. And I was like, can you imagine Marcy calling bingo for our show? Like, she's like a star. So that's what we're doing. It's really exciting. We're going to open it in May. It's just a celebration of us and love and Ojibwe people. And Sequoia has done a brilliant job with it. And feels exactly like this is what it was meant to be. This was meant to be our first like official like launch into the world as a collective. So yeah, again, a long-winded answer. I'm so sorry. I'm a talker. You can tell I'm a professor. My God.
I'm long-winded too. That I think that's my Indian name. My next Indian name is Dr. Longwind. Hey.
I love it. So,
oh my God. So speaking of Marcy Rendon, I was at our book launch with Art Colson, and he and Marcy are actually writing a romantic, or I think it's a romance story. And I think romance stories like make more money than any genre. I'm like, okay, I can write something romantic, and this is so hilarious because our like native love is not shown ever anywhere. I think, you know, like recently I saw The North of the North on Netflix, and that was pretty close to to very real to me.
It's so good. It's so good.
I was like, oh gosh, I know her husband too well. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, oh gosh. And me and my daughters are like, God, he makes me so mad. He's such a douche. And then, but it's so real because that's just, you know, like when, why are you getting ready anyway? Ain't nobody even look at you, you know? And she's just like, okay. And she's trying to like reclaim her identity. And there's this Indian man in the cuts, and he's always making some old Indian man remark. You know how they do. Hey. So I'm excited. Rom-coms are, I'm super excited. And it's coming up pretty fast. So May 7th. And I'm happy that you all thought it was good to have like an all Ojibwe cast. And because the actors would bring all that, their history and that legacy to the story, which is really great. So Sequoia is the director. Is that true? How is that? That sounds like a really big job.
Yeah. No, but it's actually so beautiful with this cast. And something I'll add about the process is that, you know, Joelle Peters wrote this play up in Canada, and it's set in a reserve there in Ontario. But we asked Joelle if we could change it to be specific to this land. And a lot of our actors, all except for me and another actor, are Red Lake. They're Red Lakers. So we asked Joelle if we could change the play to be set in Red Lake. And so we make some specific mentions to Red Lake things and the University of Minnesota and St. Paul and all of this to make it more of this land and of these people. And I think our cast really connected with that, to be able to feel like they're talking about their land, their people, and to be able to like share that. And it's a 5-person cast. We have puppetry and projection, and it's like, being in rehearsal is just a blast with all of them. I think we all really look forward to it, and it feels like healing. We've even talked about that in the room, that being together so intensively and intentionally, seeing each other on such a weekly basis, more than weekly, several days in a row, weekly basis, has really helped all of us to like help our mental health, our physical health, to get together. There's Ojibwe language spoken in the show. There's ASL, one of the actors is deaf. And so the richness of just the content and of what we're talking about is so relatable to so many people. And I'm so excited. The show is 2-week run. It's opens May 9th, Friday, and it's that weekend. We'll have a beautiful little Mother's Day ceremony as well that Sunday, the 11th. And then we have another weekend. We have 2 shows that are ASL interpreted by Indigenous Interpreting Organization as well, which is opening night, May 9th, and the next Saturday, May 17th. So we're just really weaving in all these wonderful things into the show. To be able to highlight our community and uplift folks. And we're going to have vendors in the lobby. And Sarah already mentioned Trish and Marcy, which I'm very, very excited about. So, yeah, it's been a really amazing process to be able to direct this. This is, I'd say, my official first project directing something this so big. And I could not do it without Sarah and Adrian and our wonderful production crew. And the support of Joelle as well. She's been really involved in this process from Canada. We've had several FaceTimes and several emails back and forth, so that's been really lovely. And the community has really come to show support for us as well as an organization, which feels really amazing as well on our end. So yeah, very grateful for all of this process. It's been amazing.
That sounds awesome. And it, you know, when you're in a production and you're with the crew day in and day out, and you have your, you know, from the table reading to like the final show, it's there's such a camaraderie, and there's such a like family vibe after all that. And you'll never, you know, you'll always have a special connection to someone you worked with in that capacity. So that's awesome. And I love the Red Lake. Of course, you guys know I'm biased with the Red Lake situation, but that's awesome. And I'm looking forward to it. So, and then I love the Mother's Day celebration as well, because that's such a huge part of our community and our culture. So I really love that about this. So there's so many different cultural elements that are being highlighted, and it's just really great. I'm so excited for you all. Adrian, is there anything special you want to say about the production or your role in pulling it all together?
Yeah. Sarah and I, we kind of have like a producer's credit on this particular production. The big push, even our artwork for our poster by Nipponent Lansom is an Anishinaabe artist. So we're really behind the scenes getting posters, postcards, press releases, all those things put together and sent out and shared with community. And the big thing is just to be able to show up and be a part of community and see the show. I went to rehearsal a couple Saturdays ago, and it was fire. It was so good. You could see the, you know, having being in those spaces before and having your cast and having that camaraderie, it's always something special. So you know it when you see it. So this is something special. I'm really excited about this. I'm just really happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, if you know, you know. Hey.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so exciting. And you know what? It's come up so fast because I remember you all reaching out earlier, and I feel like it came up so fast, and I'm just really excited to see it. So do you just show up, or is there a website where you pre-purchase tickets?
Yeah, you can go to our Facebook or Instagram. We'll have posted there where you can go through the QR code to get tickets. As Sarah said, our tickets are pay what you can. Also on our posters, if you see any of our posters around, we'll have an ad coming out in the circle. That code will be there as well, where you just scan that, and then you can go ahead and reserve your tickets.
Awesome. What venue is it?
We're going to be at 825 University or 825 Arts. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful building. It's really neat. They have a really nice black box space in there. And I was excited when we went in to tour it. I was super excited. Made me happy. Our director, Sequoia, was like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm feeling the vibe. This is it. Very cool. Is there, so this is your first production. I know, you know, like, it's all encompassing when you're, you know, right before opening night. So a lot of your energy and resources are just focused on that. But what are your hopes for future productions, and what other intersectional work are you looking forward to? I know you're all in very different capacities within the community. Is there anything that you, see, like envision you kind of working on? Like, you know, like for me, I would love to do like workshops or something in the community or with youth or moms, and just kind of doing things like that with one-on-one. Is there anything, Sarah, that you vision to do for Minnow Gishik? I keep saying Minnow. I'm such a Chinab brain. Okay. Minnow Gishik.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have some things coming down. You know, one of the things that we've been really lucky about so far is to have the support of Marcy Rendon. There, you know, earlier on, we were kind of joking, like, eventually we're going to have to change the name of our theater to like the Marcy Rendon Theater, because she just like, here's some work for you. Here's work. Here's a play. Do you want, like, are you interested in this? Or like, here's an opportunity, you know, to do something. And so Adrian and I have been up, and Sequoia, all of us, up to White Earth to perform, you know, a piece that Marcy wrote called Say Their Names, which is about MMIR, of course. And Adrian and I are going back to White Earth here in the next, like, couple weeks to perform again. And Marcy wrote this brilliant, just hilarious, funny mystery send up called Sweet Revenge that we're working on and working with a company in town, and we are working with a children's company coming up to on an adaptation of a children's book. And like, we have lots of cool things in the pipe, but I think what's really exciting and what we all hope for it is, like, when we all talked about this being, you know, like Minnesota and, you know, Dakota, Lakota, Ojibwe and Ho-Chunk eventually too, like who are the people here? One of the things we kept talking about was like, it's not just like, we don't want this to be a vanity company, like even though we all do work, to be like, okay, every show is going to be, you know, a star vehicle for Adrian, even though Adrian is a star and could easily carry a show by herself six times a year. But that we wanted to like uplift folks who had dreams for the theater, a dream project, a thing they'd been waiting on, a play that they were like, I have been thinking about this play for so long. Would you think about doing this? Would you think about producing it? And if we had the energy to do that, you know, like that would be, which I think we do, that would be the hope. It's like, we want to tell other people's stories. We want to tell many Minnesota stories, but we don't want to just tell like Sequoia, Adrian and Sarah stories. We want to tell the stories of the people we love and the people that, love the theater and, you know, enjoy this kind of creative process and have dreams. And we like, can we help make your dream happen? Like, cool, let's make that dream happen. So that's kind of where we're at, and I think that's what you'll likely see coming down in the next couple years. And that's really a gift that we get to do that. That's such a gift. That's crazy that we're even talking about that we would get to do that at all. So it feels really good, but also, you know, like what is needed and hopefully what is wanted. Adrian, did I hit it?
Wash day. All sounds good.
Wash day all day.
Wash day all day.
You know what? I couldn't agree with you more, because I honestly, like, when you bring a gift to, you know, not only yourself and then you have the ability to also share it with others, you don't really foresee the amount of healing that can happen. You know, and when you hear, even just writing something out is healing, but to have it carried to another person and then have those people kind of interpret it in their way, and to see it actually being acted and produced by beautiful Native people, I think you can never really understand the healing that brings. And that's something that you can always look forward to in your life, like, oh, well, this, you know, the story happened and I created these connections and I learned about myself. And then you never really can tell, like, as a writer for myself, I never foresaw what parts of the story would heal other people. You know, I knew what healed me. But just in December when I, finished up, my audio podcast of Blood Quantum Physics, I didn't know little parts that would help other people. But in the, like, ask back portion of at the end, there is all these little pieces that different people had mentioned that was healing for them. So we never really can, like, understand what impact that we have for other people. And just knowing that just holding that space for the creative process and being there and continuing with the work is is what is needed. And then that, you know, when it impacts other people, that's kind of when the community healing happens. So this is amazing. And I'm so grateful to have you three ladies so talented come together. And it was like your ancestors brought you together so that you can give this gift to the community and to Indian country too, because I have a feeling that this will maybe go international, or at least across the state, at least up to one of the reses or something, you know. But yeah, there's so many, and like youth, like the high school or college age folks, they have so many good ideas. So this is just like the beginning. And I feel like there's really no limit, because all of our stories